Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You've heard me discuss my relationship with Josh Arnold for some time. The reason I advocate that you give Josh a call is simple. Trust and results. Josh has seen it all when it comes to economic and market conditions. As has been said, through all of our relationship, past results do not guarantee future returns. And while that is true, Josh can make sure that your retirement objectives match your investments. You can understand that Josh will make sure you are not paying more in fees than you are seeing in returns. Yes, that is more common than you would like to think. Do yourself a favor and have a booking with Josh for the 48-minute free evaluation. This is a no-obligation meeting. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. You will be glad that you did.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Roycey is a paid endorser.
Oh, it's fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Roycey Unchained.
All right, Patrick. So another Monday after the conference championship.
Yeah, we're mad at the officials.
Let's talk about the officials again.
I've been contemplating this for a while now, but of the four major sports, this is baseball's advantage, and I said this earlier, baseball's advantage is that it's objective. It's either a ball or they can miss them. But when you look at a play, you can tell whether he's safe or out, right?
Yep.
You can tell whether he's safe or out or whether it's a ball or a strike.
Yep.
So it's there used to be an interpretation when the umpires were allowed to have any strike zone they wanted, right? But now they're getting judged and everything. So it's an objective game. And the umpires, with now that they have the replay, they don't influence the game. They don't decide winners and losers that often anymore in baseball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hockey is, because there's so few points, they can, you know, putting a team on a power play in a controversial fashion can certainly, but generally speaking, they'll put you back on a power play if they have time to do it, right? If they call two in a row on you, generally, I don't think it's as grievous as it used to
be. Yeah, but they still try and
They still try to even it up. And the NBA, for all the number of points that are scored on officials' decisions, on refereeing, they are the most dedicated, generally speaking, of evening it up, right? Unless you really irritate them by
then they might
screw you, but they probably aren't going to do that in the playoffs. You know, they're going to be more likely to do that in the regular season. In, you know, numerically, you should say that the NBA officials have the greatest influence on the outcome of games, but I don't think that. I think it's the NFL without doubt. I think it's the NFL because it is so subjective, the officiating, and we gave a tremendous example of that yesterday in the second game. Now I'm going to call holding the same, and then they can show it and they can say, well, yeah, it's holding. Big Mike can say, yeah, it's holding. He held him. Okay, Mike, how about the other 22 times that the same play wasn't called, right?
Right.
And And then we can say, okay, Pat Mahomes, you know, roughing penalty, okay. How come it took 6 seconds for the guy to throw the flag? Did he wait for the crowd? Did he wait for the crowd reaction? That was a Duke-worthy dive that Pat made, but it's a dumb penalty.
Right, I shouldn't hit, yes.
But, okay, yeah, they got that one right. There's no controversy. How about the block in the back on the kickoff, on the return that brought the ball out to...
How about killing a 3rd-and-9 play?
Yes, when it had no effect on the play.
Zero.
And they didn't kill it. Yeah. They didn't kill it. If they'd killed it...
Yeah, you're right.
If anybody on the whole field, and that guy, the back judge or whatever, whoever he was, only took about 2 steps and then gave, when they showed the replay, he wasn't going like this. He wasn't, nobody knew that it was killed. And then I was very disappointed in Zach Taylor after the game, by the way. Very classy, didn't mention the officials. I was hoping he'd blister him, but I knew he wouldn't. He doesn't seem to be, he doesn't want to.
Get fined, too.
Well, I don't think it's a fine. It's more, he's got that, you know. Kevin O'Connell image, right? Even more boring.
He blistered him during the game. I did like to see that.
God.
These guys cannot get thrown out of games.
That guy that had to stand next to him, he mother bleeped him and the whole crew for...
That's the job I wouldn't want.
No. Because you know...
Side judge.
Okay, you just put the screws to him. You can't throw the flag, right?
Right.
You can't throw the flag again.
Right.
To really make it ridiculous, you know. But, they just have an incredible influence on the outcome of a game when they decide to call a penalty. Mm-hmm. And then we got Serator, as you pointed out, he actually did say that he wouldn't have called one of the pass interference calls. But he's... okay, because he's an old Big Ten basketball official, too, who would throw you out of game in a heartbeat. But I think that gives him an attitude. But Mike and all of them know that the NFL wants you to say that was the right call, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 94% of the time, they say it's the right call. But you're basically cherry-picking plays because you're not pointing out how often they're calling stuff that they hadn't called the rest of the game. And they're deciding the game. It's people say, well, you should never look at the clock. You should never look at the clock. You never see the impact on the outcome. You should just make the call like you always make the call. But they don't. They don't. It's not the call they've been making all day long. They just decided to make this one. It's an impossible game to officiate.
Yes.
But what you have to do is what they did basically the year after the drop pass in the end, the touchdown that they didn't give, which they're back, by the way, taking away touchdowns. But
this is true.
The one, was it the Super Bowl here where they didn't call anything?
Oh, they redid the rule right before the game. It was glorious.
And then they didn't call any penalties during the game, hardly, right? You were allowed.
Yeah,
to,
I loved it.
Which is amazing that you could put up 90 points with no penalties being called. But and the playoffs have been, for several years now, I've had fewer flags, but now these guys show up yesterday, both games, they threw a lot of flags.
Because that was it the Tampa Bay Green Bay conference? Was that a conference championship game a few years back where they didn't throw any flags until the end, and then mm-hmm. and then they threw a flag? I think it was on a PI on like Tyrell Johnson or something.
Yeah.
But you're right. You've said this for a long time when the season starts, and I think you're right. The officials should say, how can we not impact this game?
Not how can we impact it. Not saying, boys, let's come out, let's go out there and take over this game like a Hockley does. I'm guessing we're getting Hockley for the Super Bowl. Have we found out yet?
You know, I'll look. I don't know if we've...
Have they found out yet?
I'm glad Ron Torbert's season is done.
God almighty. Plus, get a microphone that works. You know, it kept broken. Oh, God. They were terrible. They were terrible. I even got upset at the Mahomes call because not because it was not you know, he was out of bounds. But the fact that it took so long to throw the flag, that if you have to think about it, don't throw it. That's my theory.
Yeah. Although on PIs, they wait 10 seconds sometimes.
Yeah.
You got to wait for that thing.
Yeah, they think about it. Yeah, well, and that's when they're deciding, should I make these guys punt or not? You shouldn't. You know, yeah, okay, I think I saw a hold 12 seconds ago.
Yep.
And I'm going to call it. It drives me. I hate him.
Carl Cheffers.
Carl Cheffers. Carl, good old Carl's got it.
Yep, this will be his third.
Isn't Carl famous for the giving the ball to the wrong team on the coin flip or something?
No, that was Jeff Triplett, I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that was goofy Jeff Triplett.
I get my Cheffers tied up with my Triplett.
What's...
Oh, Hockley's got to be mad. He doesn't get a big game.
The problem with this whole thing, too, is you know, a lot of the longtime guys finally got out because, one, the rule book's so huge now it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
Or, two, they got these TV gigs where they just go and say, hey, they're doing a great job.
I say they should have 12 rules. That should be their limit. It's 12 rules. You know, if we got to add one, we take one off. There's only 12 things.
It is the most.
It's like this.
Yeah.
It's a dictionary.
Oh, God, yeah. And they add to it every year. And then they say, okay, last year you screwed this up, so we're going to make this a point.
Yeah, but then they go, then they just end up screwing up more stuff.
How can you go into a season and say, okay, this year I want you to look at how much weight a player puts on the quarterback.
Yes.
When he sacks him. And if you think it's too much weight, throw a flag.
Yes. Yes, and who are these guys? I mean, they're not physicists or anything. I mean, what?
Yeah, but so with the determination, like, there's no, that's not a rule. That's a subjective, just take a guess.
Yes, that is true. And, you know, the 49ers had no chance once Brock got hurt. But did we put too much weight on Jalen Johnson?
That's, yeah.
Why didn't they call it? How about when McCaffrey was stood up, there was three guys had him standing up and some guy ran from 8 yards and smacked him with the helmet in the chest and they didn't call it.
I know.
And then they turn around and you can rough the quarter, you know, you can run by the quarterback. And I would say fully healthy, though, back to the game. Pat Mahomes is probably better than Joe Burrow, but not by much.
Yeah, it's
not by much.
Yeah,
I just assumed
it's a wash to me. But
I just assumed because Burrow is a way better athlete than because he's a white boy, and he's not blazing. I bet if he and Mahomes have a foot race, it isn't that lopsided.
A couple of those runs he made on Sunday were fantastic.
Yeah, especially the
sees the
middle split and one's for 25, 30 yards. I thought they were the best. If I had been at the casino, St. Croix, on Sunday, I wouldn't have bet the first game. I might have bet the over or the under, but because I didn't know who I liked in that game beforehand. And I would have bet the Bengals and been very upset because it was 2.5, right?
Two and a half.
So
yes.
I would have been.
It was beyond the officiating, it was a fun game.
Oh, they're good teams. Two good teams. The Bengals, all through it, everybody talked about the Bengals redone, inexperienced offensive line and all the sacks. And they'd held up pretty well, but even against Buffalo, but not Kansas City hit him a lot, didn't they? So, anyway. Yeah, that was a good game. The first game was turn it off after a while. When you say, okay, Brock Purdy's courageously going back into the game, but he can't throw a pass.
Yeah.
That kind of cuts
it. I wanted McCaffrey to play quarterback. Yeah. They kept threatening it.
Yeah.
He would have had
a better chance.
Yeah, at least he can sling
the ball.
Yeah,
but they kept running all these exotic running plays. Well, you got to throw it.
Yeah.
Because they showed it. They had 11 guys within 4 yards of the line of scrimmage.
I would have let McCaffrey have a shot.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Jeez, that's...
That was really disappointing, though, because I thought that would be a fun game, at least. Mm-hmm. And once Purdy got hurt, it was just over.
You know what's amazing about the NFL and the size of the rosters, though? 1966, which is the first Super Bowl year, right?
Into 67, yeah.
66.
Yeah, because January 67, right? First Super Bowl.
Baltimore has unitis, and I don't think it was Earl Morrill. It might have been somebody else. Get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
With two games left in the season, and Tom Maddie, a running back, becomes their quarterback.
Yep.
And I think he won the last two games of the regular season. And then he went to Green Bay for the championship game or the playoff game. And they only got beat 13-10. He played quarterback, but they didn't have, you couldn't go get a guy off the street that was an actual quarterback.
That's what I'm saying.
They played Tom Maddie. You know, there were no practice squad back then, no extra guys. I think when the Vikings first went to, first year, the roster was like 36 or something. And they all played at all the exhibition. They'd have like 55 guys in camp. They play 40 minutes of the exhibition
game. Didn't they play about six preseason games?
They
did. Five or six?
One year they played six, but they always played five. Yeah.
That's incredible.
And they got up there. They got up to Bemidji in like July 10th and stayed for months, weeks.
I would argue of all the sports that we watch closely, that's the one. They've all changed a lot, but that's the one that's changed the most.
Oh, yeah.
It was such a fly-by-night operation so long.
Yeah, we were the, people, you look at what the Vikings are now and what Major League Baseball is. We were the 14th team. We were the 14th team. And they all played in. We talked about this. You look at the field. You look at the Jets celebrating their going to the Super Bowl on a field that they wouldn't make you play on at Hayfield High School.
That's
a better, the fields. And everybody played in a baseball park, basically. Mm-hmm. And they were all god-awful.
I believe when the Jets started as the Titans, they played at the Polo Grounds.
They probably, I'm sure they did, because I think
the Giants were at Yankee Stadium right across the
street. I think the way back in the day when Brooklyn had a team, and then there were the New York Yankees and the New York Giants were in the league. And Brooklyn, I don't know, they were the Americans or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when World War II was, when Pearl Harbor bombing is announced, in 41, the game was being played at the Polo Grounds. It's Brooklyn versus the Yankees or something. The Giants, Brooklyn versus the Giants at the Polo Grounds or something like that. When they, that famous clip when they interrupted. We interrupt this broadcast to tell you that we're entering World War II.
World War II.
Again, the damn Germans have started another one with their pals from Japan. As Norm MacDonald said. One of the funniest things he said was talking about wars, and he said, I can't remember what the setup is, he says, about countries fighting, the Spanish-American War, Spain, the French-American War and stuff, and he says, Germany, at the start of World War I, they didn't fight a country. They fought the world. And then he comes back and says, and then 21 years later, Germany once again fought the world. I was thinking about he would have had a great tirade about something, being a itinerant gambler that he,
used to tweet about it constantly.
Yeah, fanatical gambler. So, there's a documentary on him. Have you seen it?
Like, no,
bunch of them. David Spade was a buddy of his, and they have Letterman's on it. And who's the guy that he was on with all the time? But they got five or six of his buddies on there just telling stories about, like, he'd go to Vegas and lose $150,000 on a weekend, And, one time he was like, Spade, I think, was telling a story. He was like, $120,000. He runs into him in Vegas and Norm's up $120,000. And he sees him the next day and he says, how did it go? And he says, I'm now even, or something. He just gave it away. So anyway, Yeah, it was. But you know what? You know how you know in football how king NFL is? When the golf tournament, the famous golf tournament, has to end on Saturday. They don't, they played Wednesday through Saturday.
I saw start on Wednesday,
This year to avoid being on against the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's Jim Nance. Maybe it's because of Nance. Jim Nance can't do the Sunday broadcast, so we're gonna do it. But you can't even play one of the major secondary golf tournaments and against them on Sunday. Now a Super Bowl Sunday, they always play the Phoenix one, but the game starts late enough.
Yeah, because they can start till like 5:30.
The college kids can go out there.
Plus, they're all drunk.
Yeah, get drunk at 3, and then they go back and watch the.
That's what the waste management.
Yeah. I was down there when the Giants beat the unbeaten Patriots, and staying in the Marriott down the street from where the golf tournament was, and that was you leave at 9 a.m. for the stadium to get away from the crowd because they get 100,000 people there. They bus them in from all over the parking lot.
Oh, for the golf,
yeah. Although they ruined that, they built great big bleachers and made it expensive and stuff because it just started off as a bunch of drunk college students deciding to go down there and heckle, you know. It's a
fantastic idea.
Yeah, not now. We got to make money at it. So
for golf, that's a fantastic idea. So how was your speaking engagement to the Twins fans on Saturday?
It was great. Oh, that's a nice blue. It's kind of the Twins Daily crowd is, I don't know, a meltdown, they call it, or something.
Yeah,
Meltdown. It's kind of the crowd kind of reminds you of the Julian's crowd for the hot stove, which I think they also had last week. Well, I know Lavelle was there. And, but these are not high buck fans, but they're hardcore baseball fans, and they follow Twins Daily, and it was good. They're irreverent, and they like the game. I think that's a crowd that still likes baseball. You know,
not just the beer that's associated with the.
No, I don't know.
Good for them.
That in that poorhouse, basically your auditorium to have something like that is just spread everybody out in the bar, right?
Well, that's where you did the Chris Carter thing back in the day, right? Ponder.
Yeah, we
did. $1,500.
Yeah, we did. We got him on, right? Yeah, we made a big deal out of that. So that was like pulling teeth. This was, but Gleeman and Bonus were the hosts, up at the thing, and then Perky came in and he was the main guest. But they sit in there and drink $5 beers instead of $18 beers or something. So it was good. It's the Dana Wessel baseball crowd. That's who it is. those kind of guys. So it was fine.
I hope you told Perky that you want honest analysis on Bally Sports North this season.
I told Perky that we want you to do more games, but let's remember what I told you before you did your first game. Less is more. Less is more. You don't have to analyze every pitch. Unlike some other big, tall first baseman we know, you don't have to just.
I think Kent Herbeck's done a great job.
You know what? I have the same problem in writing. A lot of times people do. It's when you don't feel like you've made your point.
Yes.
Then you just keep going and going.
Yes.
You should just admit, I might not have properly made my point, but I'm going to shut up anyway because I've now gone 15 seconds. And there are 300 pitches in a game. I don't have to analyze every one of them. And these TV guys, this Greg Olson, God, imagine how bad he'd be on baseball when there was even more time to kill between things.
I think people are uncomfortable with dead air, too, right?
They are. That's
so
the thing.
So, like, there's a
nothing
pause.
Wrong. Yeah, the greats of the game have always been willing to pause and let as crazy as Madden was, he didn't have to analyze. He missed a player once, he didn't have to draw something or on every play. Yeah, it's It's amazing, though. The PR machine of the NFL is incredible, and those referee analysts are part of it, as the
yes.
part of the incredible PR machine, because people leave, you know. I mean, obviously Bengals fans are mad. I suppose I don't think 49ers fans can be too mad, because they know they didn't have a chance once they didn't have a quarterback. But you know, the neutral millions that are watching say, well, look, they showed it. It was interference. It was holding. They showed it. So they don't, you know, they don't go any deeper than that. So it's an amazing PR machine, the NFL.
Oh, it's one of the best there is in the world, probably, at anything.
I was in a car for a while at the start of the second half of that game. I was doing something and got in and out of the car. I heard four plays, and three of them got stopped because somebody was hurt. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, man alive, you're asking these guys to play. This is game 19 for these two teams, because only one of them had a bye. This is 20 for Cincinnati, mm-hmm. 19 for Canada. Now we're going to throw another regular season game at them because you know the players are going to cave in on that one.
Yeah, because they'll actually get paid more.
Yeah, they get paid more, but there's, you know, they're also lose more limbs and
it is remarkable the attrition.
Yes,
that also takes place.
Oh God, it's inhumane. There's never been anything like this.
16 games was perfect.
You know, because when Boom Boom and Dave Osborne and those, you know, guys were playing and chugging forward, you didn't have athletes like this coming up and blowing you up all the time. I mean, they've done a lot trying to lower the velocity of hits, you know, yeah. They don't let you come up and clothesline a guy, but they're just such bigger, stronger, faster athletes. When they hit you, it hurts.
Well, those guys played 14 regular season games,
yes,
right?
Right. 14, 12. When the Vikings came in, mm-hmm. they expanded it to 14 when they got the two expansion teams, I believe. I don't think the Vikings ever played a 12-game season, but they did play 12.
I thought 16 was perfect. I thought 16 was fine, and you could have even cut down
to
two preseason.
Why do they want more money? What's the thing?
Oh, didn't you see Goodell? He wants to be at something billion. I'll find it by 2025, I think.
Really?
They've set a new projection.
They want the gross yeah. or the net? The gross.
No, I think the gross.
Yeah. So... Yeah, I mean, it's just how they, what do you think of, they're such great salespeople. They can now get everybody arguing about whether somebody should be Pro Bowl, if they should make the Pro Bowl team or not, and they're not even playing a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, we're very concerned about the new Pro Bowl fun games.
Yes.
Goodell's goal by 2027 is $25 billion in revenue.
What do they got now, bud? 15, 16? Probably more than that.
I would have to find it.
Yeah, yeah. $25 billion, yeah. And Ziggy, I think poor old Red still living down there in Texas, says, why'd I sell this thing as cheap as I did?
God, yeah. What was it, 600?
Yeah, I think 600. We thought, yes, Red made a nice profit there. You know, yep. He doubled his money, but Ziggy's... I don't think is there enough money? Could you put a number on an NFL franchise now? $8 billion, $7-8 billion, probably.
Denver
with a stadium.
The Broncos
like,
just sold
with
so.
A stadium like this.
I mean, that's the thing: practice facility, stadium. It's all done now.
You that's know? Another reason I mentioned it last week. But that's another reason I was rooting for the Bengals. Because they play, they have a practice facility like
below
the Bremer Golf Dome.
Yeah.
Not as big though.
The Broncos in August of 2022, so this past year, sold for $4.65 billion.
That Ziggy wouldn't take six, I don't think.
Yeah, well, I mean, with the stadium, no, probably not.
Not with this stadium, no.
But they always, but that's the thing about it. The greed knows absolutely no bounds. So the answer is yes, they want more games, they want more money, and they don't give a damn about the players.
Yes, that is true. That is true. So I think we talked about this, and one quick thing. My take from the Twins festivities the weekend.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm thinking, guys that are that smooth bother me at times, but I think Correa's a pretty good guy. You know, my read on him is he's an okay guy. What do you think? He's pretty smooth.
He's really smooth. I can't tell.
But I think he's, you know, I don't think it's all PR, you know. I think he is naturally a decent fellow. Because I think he's accepted this discounted price much better than his agent. I get the impression that he told I get the impression he told Boris, take the money. We'll take this deal. I'm not going to get jerked around again. And, you know, I can't really blame him because Boris makes a big deal about the Mets. New deal. We rescued the deal. And then they used the same doctor as the Giants did. What are they?
That's one of the weird. You know, I have no idea.
I think that was Cohen trying to get out of it. He was, you know, he was sitting in Hawaii having dinner, and Boris called him, and we'd take him. And I think he gets back in the States, you know, in the mainland, and his people say, we don't need him. We don't need to spend $315 million on a third baseman. You know?
You think?
Yeah. I think they want it out. Otherwise, why would they have the same?
Well, that is weird.
Yeah, I mean, why would they have the same? What is he going to change his opinion?
Yeah, I didn't know until it got reported well after the fact that they were basically just going to have the same doctor say, something looks wrong here.
Yeah. So
on Correa, I don't know because he is. I think he's so smooth and he knows he's smooth.
Yes.
That he thinks he'll buy it.
Well, and people do, but I'm, you know, I'm always skeptical of those fellas. You don't have, we haven't had many that good, though, you know, as far as being smooth. He's
an expert at it.
I mean, the beat guys, the beat people, and they love him because he talks. He's present.
He comes on and talks.
You know, before the game and after the game, you can, they may not, I mean, once in a while, they'll say, if you go shopping at Dior, you got to pay the price, but which was not as pompous a quote as it came off, because we all thought he was saying, I only shop at Dior. That wasn't what he was saying, but I don't know. I think I'm always skeptical about those fellas, but I'm not terribly skeptical, and you know, it would be hard to be optimistic in any way about this team if they hadn't brought him back, don't you think?
Oh, God,
yeah. Kyle Farmer is going to be your shortstop.
Absolutely.
Somebody like that, yeah.
Absolutely. No, his coming back, I think, changes much the perception now of what they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they don't bring him, if he doesn't come back.
This offseason?
Yes. Yeah. I think now, the Taylor move, the pitching move, I think those things all look like, okay, it's not too bad because he came back.
Mr. Baseball, who shall go nameless, but he's a member of my family, is not very excited about Michael Taylor. He says he is a terrible hitter. You know,
so yeah.
He had like one decent year while back, but it's nice to have a center, but he's, you know, instead of having Buxton, when Buxton plays and hits third, this guy's going to have to hit eighth or something.
Yeah.
So, and he's a striker outer too.
But I just like the fact he can go get the ball.
Yes. Yes. That's important. I don't, I don't know who wrote it. LaBelle write it? Somebody write it about how they're all in on Fielding now. I don't know who wrote it.
Yeah. I think LaBelle on Sunday, right?
Yeah. The long ball is gone. You got Joey Gallo. You're still dedicated to the home run with this team. They're still dedicated to the home run.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Kirilloff is a very big key to this team because he can hit.
I don't think they got enough heat last year for how stupid a team they were.
In set.
Base running.
Oh, yeah. That's
in the
true.
Field. Like, I think this is an acknowledgement that we were dumbasses. And, like, they played some of the dumbest games I've seen last year. And I feel like this is a correction of that. It hasn't been acknowledged that way. But, you know, I was tired of seeing the fundamental breakdowns.
Yeah, that's true. You got Miranda playing third,
yeah,
and he apparently lost 15 pounds, but he doesn't strike me
we
as
got
a,
the new Sano story
he doesn't,
every year.
Yeah, well, he...
Someone's lost weight.
Although, if Miguel lost 15...
Yeah, you couldn't tell.
You wouldn't know it, but I don't see him as a fundamentally sound player.
No, you're probably right.
If he's going to play 130 games at third base or something, that's Carlos. I'm very interested about where shortstops, if when right-handed hitters are up, the shortstops are back, you know, playing over so that they got to can backhand the ball in the hole and to see.
That's my guess, right?
Yeah, for the left side, I mean, this. All this is done is basically to put the left-handed hitter back in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing because that's where the shift killed people,
right?
But I'm interested to see when the right-handed pull hitter comes up if they still going to play the guy over in the shortstop hole and leave this gaping hole in them. And I talked to Falvey briefly. We talked to him briefly before the thing on Friday and. Said, so what, where are they going to, you know, what's the shortstop going to, is the shortstop going to, what's the ball, you can't move until, I mean, you can't get on the other side of the base until the ball's released. And it's, you kind of got this perception, are they going to try to do something with the ball's, well, no, I mean, the ball's in play 1 second later or right. It's not, so you can't really do anything.
Right.
But the grass is going to happen. You can't,
so you can't be on the grass anymore.
No.
That's surprised by that.
Even though the second baseman since, Charlie Gehringer have been playing on the grass. So
that part surprises me.
Yeah.
Like, I like the rest of the elimination of the shift, but I thought they would allow you to be back on the grass.
Mm-hmm. I have hope for the pitch clock when I see a guy like Louis Varland pitch last year where he got the ball back. And, you know, he'd had it for a couple of years, and he just, now maybe that was his natural instinct too, but boom, here we go.
Changes, for the most part, are going to be good. I don't know about the bigger bases. I don't know that we needed the bigger bases, but.
No,
I
don't know what it accomplished.
Rule and the pitch clock, I love.
So Gopher basketball.
He wrote about it for Sunday.
I'm giving Ben 2 more years. He says, judge me in year 4, and we will. But he'll be gone here's the problem right now. Who stays? You know, because, okay. If you don't have any name, image, if you're Jamison Battle, somebody mentioned this to me, not connected to the program, but if you're Jamison Battle, he's home, you know, he's playing in Minnesota. But after this year, he's going to have one more year left. And he's got another free transfer if he wants it. And at this point, there's no name, image, and likeness money, and there's not much hope that you're going to be a winning team.
Yeah.
And behind the scenes, somebody calls him up from a top 25 program with some money and says, Jamison, we could use a shooter for 1 year. What do you do? You know? I mean, what do you do? I mean, loyalty and being home and all that stuff. I mean, I think the bad teams are getting worse. This is a system set up to make the bad teams get worse,
mm-hmm.
don't you?
Develops them for
They don't have NIL money, and they don't, you know, they're not going to, transfer portal guys aren't going to say, wow, I can come and help you build something. No, they want to win now.
There is nothing about what college basketball is doing as a whole that makes it fun to watch. I have no desire to watch it. And And what's happened here is really sad. Mm-hmm. Like, this is pathetic.
Oh, yeah, it is. They now, the other night, they played great. I mean, as good as they can, they played against Indiana. And Indiana missed a lot of three-point shots. They played a zone, and Indiana missed. If they were making shots, it would have been 15. But and it sounded, I wasn't there, it sounded loud. Mm-hmm. But there was also, they announced 9, so that means 7 at maximum, right? It means that it's half full.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just, you go into that place, you're, you know, they can bring you in there and a recruit flies up here in November to check it out, right?
Yep.
And they say, oh, you should see this place when it's full. Yeah, but tonight there's 3,200 people there.
And it's cold and old.
Yes, it's cold and old. And you can see all the warts.
Yeah.
You can see all the incredible warts.
I know.
And it's a detriment to the program now, that big old building.
Yep.
They'd be better off with something that held 8,000 people, you know. And
yes, you know, sadly.
And that apparently Rutgers, that's what a Rutgers has, is an 8,000-seat arena. They fill it, and it's loud, they say, and it's, you know, you think it's an atmosphere, right?
Yeah, I just don't know. I love the barn, but I don't know how you sell that with this bad a program, as you said, when it's empty.
And
what kid's going to say, yeah, I want to play there?
And any game that matters is on TV, and you can watch it at home. And you can listen to Corey Provis on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday, who's great. And, boy, the incentive to get off the couch and head to the place and walk 4 blocks and, you know, it's just not very 4 or 5 blocks when it's
that's
two,
the problem with all
two
sports.
Degrees.
Aside from
today
football,
people don't like if you got a game tonight, it's 2.
Yeah.
It's
and
two.
The Wolves are at home, and you got your 60-inch
yeah.
TV.
But at least with the Wolves, you can park at a ramp and walk over, you know.
I'm just saying.
Pain in the butt.
I think the problem, because I tweeted out something on Saturday about this whole thing that we have talked about, load management, right?
Yeah.
And I tweeted out, they should have tickets priced on a tier of who plays.
Yeah.
So if Buxton can't play, if Correa plays, and people, what are you talking about? You know, just go to the game and have fun. I said, but that's the problem. It's expensive to go.
Yes.
You can watch it on TV, and if Correa don't play, guess what? You turn it off.
The NBA is kind of fun this year because it's unpredictable, but what is also unpredictable is who's going to play when you go to the game.
Yes.
I've used Toronto as my example. They sell out every game. LeBron's coming to town. Who knows? Could be the last time. No, it doesn't play. You know, he goes up to Toronto. They fill the arena up, and they announce at 1 in the afternoon that he's going to sit, and so is Davis, and so is another guy.
Mm-hmm.
Where Kerr had a game, which they won, by the way, a road game. He won, by the way, and 4 of them didn't play. Curry, Wiggins, I don't know if Draymond played, but Curry, Wiggins, Draymond, and somebody, I think Draymond didn't play.
Poole?
Yeah. Poole played, and he got like 41.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You don't know.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why, of all the things I like about Ant, he started every game this season.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he started.
And he's got a bad hip.
And he wants to play.
Yeah.
He wants to play, and he's... And this team's a lot better when it's Ant's team than it is when it's Cat's team.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yes, it is.
And one of their key improvements in them is how they don't make D'Lo's no longer point guard, that he's got the ball all the time. So he, you know, get the ball, make a shot. He's been shooting like crazy for a month. What is he? He's over 50% on his threes, I think.
I think in the first half Saturday, he was like 9 for 9 in the first half and then tailed off and missed all the shots in the second half. But, yeah, he's been great because there's less pressure.
Yes.
Because Ant takes care of
they do less
most of the heavy lifting now.
And one more thing. Does Lindsey get one more year? They got 41 yesterday. They're now heading for last in the Big Ten.
What happened? They got off to a halfway decent start, no?
They're not strong. They're not. Now this is an extreme example.
Yeah.
But you watched South Carolina last year when they won the national championship, and they had athletes guarding people up like men, you know, like the men, they got on top of them.
Yep.
Right? It's not giving them room because they're going to go around. And I watched the Gopher women play, not yesterday. I don't think they're on TV, at least free TV. And a week ago or 10. And they're guarding, you know, Maya Brown can shoot. But somebody takes a better athlete who's thicker and puts her in her face, you know, it's really hard to get a shot, right? And they're not strong. It's and they, you know, here's and with them, okay. You're a freshman player who's pretty good. You gonna hang with it for 4 years?
Yeah.
When you can.
Well, that's the thing. You don't have to now if you don't want to.
When there's 20 teams and 20 good teams. I mean, Scalia, who was Miss Loyal Gopher, she went to Indiana and she's going to be in the Sweet 16. You know, they're number six in the country. She started early, then her minutes were cut down, but now she's playing a lot again and scoring points again. And she's coming back and seeing all her old buddies and saying, boy, I'm having fun. We're winning.
Yep.
I don't know. Lindsay's, I don't think she, they'll probably give her one more year, but that's it. You know, I mean, this is year five. They could, by mutual agreement.
She should go back to TV or something.
I think she's lucky that they got a AD who doesn't really care about basketball. Somebody send me a stat. Let me look this up. I got to give it to you.
All right.
Then we can sign off. How late? What time is it? We're damn near done here.
Yep.
Let me, give you this.
Five more minutes.
I got to look up my.
How about that?
I got to look up my email here.
All right.
Somebody send this to me. Okay. All right. Come on.
I see you scrolling.
Here it is. Since Mark Coyle was named Gophers AD in May 2016. The men's basketball program has a Big Ten record of 43-83, and the women's basketball program has a Big Ten record of 46-67. Combined, Coyle's basketball programs are 89-150 in the Big Ten.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
We miss Norwood, no question about it.
Norwood had the Vista 7.
We missed the Vista 7. You know what? Pacino's doing pretty damn well, huh?
And the other thing is, We had an AD in charge of basketball, yep. Mike Ellis.
Yep.
Mr. Vista.
Yeah, we were on top of the basketball world. We just didn't know it.
We did not.
Just because he was a creep.
Yeah, we had to fight. Yes. I mean, make him go to therapy for a couple of weeks, but bring back Norwood.
We have our choice of coaches right now.
Yes, right.
Although, you know what?
He was going to get Brad Stevens, remember that?
Oh, God. Yeah, and then Shaka.
He was going to get Shaka,
then Brad Stevens, yes. And then next thing you know, he hires Pitino.
Yeah.
You know what the positive is there, though? Motzko. They're selling out again.
Really? They have a good crowd?
Michigan State, back-to-back, great crowds.
For a terrible opponent, too.
Yeah, not much of an opponent, but
that's good.
They're so damn good now, they can't ignore them.
The other night,
good for Motzko. 8-0 on Friday, and then they got behind by a goal, I think, on Saturday, and came back and won like 5-2 or 5-3.
Yeah, they're good. They're gonna win it.
They should.
You might not win it, but every game you play, you're gonna be the team expected to win, right?
St. Cloud, which was one, got lost, swept by Duluth.
Duluth, yeah.
Declan's team, absolutely.
That league is tough.
Yeah.
You know, it's mediocre as hell, North Dakota.
North Dakota. Goaltending problems.
Oh, really?
That's what my spies tell me. They can't settle on a goaltender.
Well, you know, it's a very important part of the game.
Yes, it is. It's like quarterback and
football.
Quarterback and football. Come full circle.
Now, for instance, if Motzko's team had their fourth string quarterback hurt, 1, 2, 3, 4, if he was at his fifth goalie, he'd be in trouble.
He'd be sunk.
Yes, he would be.
He'd be sunk. Although, you know,
he's got close and he brought this kid in that they thought is the future and he never gets to play.
In retrospect, what's weird is arguably one of the best things that took place was LaFontaine bolting to Carolina because the Hurricanes were such devious bastards.
That was
terrible. This close kid's been great ever since.
What a brutal decision by that kid, and what a gutless, thing by the Carolina Hurricanes.
They didn't really need him, too.
They played him once, right?
Yeah, and he gave him 8 goals or something like that.
And they never played him again.
And the worst part about that, the second he left, you said, son, that was a big mistake.
Yes. Yeah.
Because he was never going to be a pro. He's a good college goaltender.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he'd be a pro, but
he'll be making $12 a year
ECHL
or something.
ECHL, or maybe go to Europe and play in some league over there.
Yeah, maybe.
Where is he? Does anybody know?
I think he might still be in Carolina, France. Yeah, but I bet he's down below the American Hockey League.
You know what, young men? These teams that are playing with you, what they tell you they're going to do and what they're going to do are very often different things because they're devious bastards.
Yep.
Just like college coaches. So.
Oh, God, yeah.
But Motzko's a great guy, so we're all happy for him. And what's amazing is with more competition than ever, they're back to getting the guys they want.
You know, he's doing great.
They used to pick their six and then complain when other teams took Canadians or something. Yep. They wanted to take the six best Minnesotans and then have you take everybody else. But now,
you know who's great,
this guy don't care.
Snuggerud's kid.
Oh.
Dave Snuggerud's kid.
God, can he shoot the puck.
He's going to be a really damn good pro. Yeah.
He's got a little size to him, too, doesn't
yes.
he?
Yes.
And
I remember the old man being far more of a worker. He was good, but I remember him being a worker. Wonderful. This kid's got talent.
Snuggy is a great guy, too.
Yep.
Yeah, they're good, man. They're good. I texted Motzko after that. I watched a little bit. I said, when you guys are good, you're something, you know, when they, after the 8-0, you know, I said, because some nights they're not great.
Yeah.
But when they're going to be on their game every playoff game, and how are you going to beat them?
Exactly.
Because they got unbelievable players.
All right, sir. Oh, bless you. Gesundheit.
I had to fight that sneeze. I thought I was going to make it to the end, but...
Well, Gesundheit, and we'll talk to you next week.
That's a good sneeze, though, because I only did it once. How many people can only sneeze once? Usually it becomes a whoa.
I'm pretty good at one.
My brother used to.
But, oh, yeah.
Eight of them.
Yep, yeah,
eight of them.
Bang, bang, bang.
Bang.
All right.